The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Can't stop looking at this Cody Bellinger home run. Can't stop looking at Cody Bellinger wrecking his shoulder celebrating. Right here. Right here. Whoa. Let's go.
Hurts.
California.
That is terrible. I'm so bad at that.
They learned that celebration from the Padres.
Bellinger did catch the last out, so he did have some range of motion in the shoulder, and I think we could feel pretty good that it wasn't busted, but look at this celebration. This does not look like the team some of you said was too tight, too many ghosts of October past. How the Dodgers came back, how the Braves just couldn't shut the door. We're going to start there. Around the horn, Cliff Yates.
Yeah, this is a team that I feel like not only from an execution standpoint did everything well, but also Dave Roberts pressed every button and it all worked. Going back to being 2-0 down, you thought to yourself, they're going to have to do something really special. They blew the ball out of the water with all those runs. And in this game particular, going to May as an opener, even though he had thrown 50-odd pitches 2 games before, was actually something that was very strategically, even though he got pulled out, it allowed him to set up his bullpen the way that he wanted. Also, having Kike Hernandez on the daggone roster, never mind pinch hitting him in order for him to go yard was amazing. And then sticking with Urias at the end of the game when everybody had asked all those questions about Kenley Jansen and still keeping Kenley's confidence up, I think Dave finally put all those things together. Never mind the errors the Braves made. Good job out of them getting back in this series and eventually winning it. To go
Kevin Blackstone, with your eyes, how'd you see it? How did the Dodgers pull this off? How did the Braves let this get away?
Well, the Dodgers pulled it off by being the better team in the end. I mean, we all thought that they were the better team coming into the postseason. They hadn't necessarily looked like it, and this time they exercised all of that. They kept the base pass juiced all night long. 17 LOB last night for the Dodgers.
Not a good thing.
They should have blown this game out of the water. Right, exactly. But you know what? They got the timely hits. The Kiki home run, just tapping him on the shoulder and come in and say, do what you do in the postseason, amazing. And then obviously the Bellinger home run just put the cherry on top of that cake. This is a team that's looking really good going forward now. And, you know, hats off to Dave Roberts finally, because you had the feeling that if they didn't get this done, he wasn't going to be coming back.
Do you put cherries on top of cakes or do you put them on top of sundaes? I'm not so sure about that. Pablo Torre, how about you?
Eat cakes.
Okay.
Yeah, the Dodgers, Tony, were just, in the end, a superior team. And I know there's so much psychoanalysis that people in Atlanta want to do around this team. And I know, like, every game an Atlanta sports team plays feels like a Final Destination sequel. But just know that you just got beat by a better team. The Atlanta Braves in this game, Tony, 5 innings, 1 base runner. That was a walk. This was a team that ultimately got silenced by Dodgers pitching. Julio Urias out of the bullpen, normally a great starter. He was excellent. Mookie Betts showing that, hey, maybe fiscal discipline, Boston Red Sox, isn't the thing that you should be really chasing after when you have a guy like that in your organization. And then, of course, obviously, the offense, which was the best in baseball all year, was once again, in the end, just that.
You brought up Mookie Betts, and now we look at Jackie McMahon. Wow, I mean, can you imagine a team trading away Mookie Betts, Jackie?
So funny how that works.
Like I had anything.
Well, you wear it. You wear it.
You're a kid.
That is so funny. That is so funny to me. But it's all good. I'm happy for the Dodgers because of all the scrutiny that we have all put upon them, that I'm sure they put upon themselves. None of us can understand the weight of that until it's lifted. And the way they did it was every time they needed a clutch play, they got it. Whether it was an inning pitch, whether it was a home run, has been referenced, or whether it was that incredible catch that Pablo talked about with Mookie Betts. Freddie Freeman hits that ball. If it goes into the seats, we might be talking today about the Atlanta Braves going to the World Series and Freddie Freeman being the MVP of the National League Series. So It's the little things that make the difference. All the little things went their way. You make your own luck at this time of year. There's no question.
And there was a 5-2, 5-2, 5-6 double play in this game, and that's just an example. I mean, the Braves did the little things so well in so many games this postseason. That being said, there's a conversation today for Atlanta. People are saying 28-3 in football is equal to blowing the 3-1 lead in baseball. Is it really, Clint Yates?
No, absolutely not. And look, the errors the Braves made are not ones that happen to anything other than a team playing against another really good team. Just because you're going on second and third on contact, which is a stupid play, doesn't mean that Turner is going to pick that ball up and wheel around and make an out at third, which incredible was incredible pick. And what was actually what ended that and made it to the second out. So, no, if your great team shows up and beats you out, you can't complain about blowing it. That didn't happen.
Now we just look at Cody Bellinger's shoulder, make sure that's still connected after the celebration, and we move on to a World Series. Dodgers and Rays. We'll get to it later in the week. Next, what the Buccaneers did to the Packers after Rodgers double pumped and that touchdown got called back. It was 38-7 Tampa. Here's Rodgers after the game.
I feel like we needed a little bit of a wake-up call at some point this season because things have been so good. And there's been so much talk, maybe outside the building, about the ease with which we're, you know, moving the ball on offense and scoring. And, you know, I think we need a kind of a kick in a little bit as a little bit of a wake up.
There we go, wake up call. We needed it, Jackie Mack. How did you hear Aaron Rodgers there that this loss was maybe a good thing?
Well, I don't think the loss was a good thing, but I think if you're a leader like Aaron Rodgers is, and he's one of the best in the NFL, you'll take it and you'll turn it into a way to lead your team and show them going forward. And I'm sure he's going to include himself in all those lowlights on the film because this was, you know, a two-interception game for him. I think his net yardage, Tony, when he was under pressure in this game, was minus 24 yards. Ooh. I didn't see this coming. I was shocked. Mm-hmm. I didn't
Thank
know
you for reminding us about your pick.
Like
yeah, you thought it was an impossibility that Green Bay was going to lose this game and Tampa was going to win. All right, so Pablo, let's start on Aaron Rodgers. I do want to get to Tampa, but hearing Aaron Rodgers say what he said after the game, that this is the wake-up call we needed.
Yeah, Jackie's seeing this as a leadership thing, and Aaron Rodgers certainly very successful in that capacity, but he used a lot of royal we in there, Tony. The royal we gotta fix this. Aaron Rodgers, after that interception, he collapsed, and part of it was, yes, the pressure he was under, 29% of his dropbacks under pressure, and he was really bad in that way, getting sacked four times, not looking anything like himself, but that's the question going forward. When Aaron Rodgers does not have the pristine pocket he's had to begin this season, what does he look like? And after this game, you're a lot less confident in that guy, so I don't even know if that's a good thing so much as it is an unfortunate reality that he's going to have to deal with.
Maybe.
You know what? I remember a few years ago when the Packers got off to a shaky start and and the fans were getting after Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers said, "Relax, everyone. It's going to be okay." Now they lose a game, and he's like, "Oh, this is good for us. This is the tonic that we needed." I'm not buying it at all. They had their butts handed to them yesterday by a team that we have not quite come to grips with just yet, which I'm sure we will in this conversation coming up. But that's not a good loss to get blown out by that margin when you're Aaron Rodgers and you're going up against Tom Brady with a brand new team.
History will show you, Kevin, after the relax speech, for lack of a better word, the Packers did put together a season, though. Clint Yates, how about you?
Yeah, my God. I mean, the guy loses a game, has his first turnover of the season, happens to throw two in a row, and you guys are acting like he's a bum out on the street. I mean, I'm sorry. This team is a team that has indicated how good they are, and the defense of the Bucs showed up.
Well, let's talk about that, Clint Yates, because none of you, yourself included, Clint Yates, I think you used the word Bucs with a loss could become irrelevant. I believe I remember that being said on Friday's show. Well,
I still don't think the Bucs are any more relevant just because they beat a random Packers. I mean, just because they had a randomly
good game. You didn't learn anything about Tampa in this
what
game, Clint?
I learned something about their defense.
Well,
and I learned this is the best that they've seen this team play all season.
They have a relevant defense then. Well, that counts. Clint, Kevin Blackstone, did Tampa tell you anything?
Yeah, and talking about that defense, we paid attention to all the new weapons that they got on offense, all the shiny stuff. Yeah. And guess what? It's the defense that was 29th in the league last year, couldn't hold any opponent, and now they're 7th in the league. And look at the beatdown that they put on the Packers and on Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks we've seen in this game in this generation.
Yeah. Clinton, you astound me. Last week, Tom Brady did this, and you had him in a home for Alzheimer's patients, for crying out loud.
You're the first person to mention Tom Brady in the whole segment.
You said the guy, and now because Aaron Rodgers has one bad game, we are not allowed to say he had a bad game. You confound me. Listen,
you both confound me, though. You both said there was zero chance Tampa was going to win this game, and here they are rolling 38-7 after that double pump. You didn't triple pump, but that double pump celebration, when it gets called back, you really look ridiculous. Speaking of looking ridiculous, this Gronk sketch Fox put up after he scored his touchdown, who is that? Is that Channing Tatum? Is that Vanilla Ice? Good to see the courtroom sketch artist from the Tom Brady came back to work. All right, we're going to move
Magic
on. One more story.
Graphic novel.
Yeah, Dolphins 24, Jets squadouche. We're not going to talk about this game, but we are going to talk about Tua time. Two passes, huge cheers from the 20% full crowd, and Ryan Fitzpatrick cheering on the sideline. That was cool to see. After the game, he sat on the field by himself, taking it all in. Pablo, how'd you hear and see that?
I loved it, Tony. It's a rare situation for a young quarterback to have the guy he's backing up be so supportive of him. And so that moment on the field in which everybody was really enthusiastic about it, it only filled me with glee because we see so much drama and soap opera otherwise. But with Fitzpatrick, he has the exact opposite.
Jackie Mac?
Yeah, it was great to see Fitzpatrick get on that. I have to admit, when I first saw that, I thought, well, that seems a little dramatic. But that was until I found out he was sitting on the field doing FaceTime with his parents, who come to every single game, Tony, and had no way of knowing he would get into this one. And he wanted to show them exactly where it was that he completed his first
pass.
But
you thought it was
then
dramatic?
I loved it
you,
a
you
whole
think
lot.
It's a little much? Because what, he only played, you know, for 2 minutes?
Or? No, I just wasn't sure. I wasn't sure what he was doing. Once I found out what he was doing, I absolutely loved it because I love the connection with his parents and how important they are to him and his journey. I loved
Glenn
it.
Yates?
I turned around and really loved it.
He could have been sitting out there crying by himself for all I care. We talked about this man's leg every week for a year when he was at Alabama. And the fact that he made it back to this point and didn't make it back under duress, but because the Dolphins are actually blowing somebody out, which is the best case scenario in which for him to do it. I loved every part of this. Good for Tua,
Kevin
man.
Black
this is a good day in his family.
Yeah, I love the humanity that we've seen from athletes in the last couple of weeks, the last few months, and this was another one of those moments where a guy just soaking it all in. I finally got this far. I'm healthy. Like Clint said, get a few reps in, calling the folks. That's great stuff. I love it.
All right, there is one more thing from this game, and I think we're going to talk about it later, but could the butt pick replace the butt fumble for the New York Football Jets? My answer, no! There is space for multiple butts with the Jets. But
there's
incredible
so much more
play.
In this one.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We have to talk about Mike Vrabel. Titans, Texans, before the overtime Derrick Henry touchdown, before the last second A.J. Brown, did he really get both feet in touchdown catch? Before the Texans touchdown and two-point conversion attempt, which failed. Before all that, check this out. This 12-man on the field penalty, Mike Vrabel, did he have the Titans take a 12-man on the field penalty on 2nd and 1 with 3 minutes left on purpose to give Houston an automatic first down to save time and set up the whole comeback? Everyone thinks so. He even faked being upset about it. Although when talking about it today, he said, we got to do a better job with those penalties. So you're going to buy or sell that, Clinton Yates, and the entirety of the ending of this game. Go ahead.
I'm buying that. Remember what he did against Belichick to jam it to him in that whole kicking situation?
Yeah.
He saved himself 40 seconds in this scenario. This is what Vrabel does. As for the Titans overall, they are in my cart, but I have yet to press purchase on them. I'm not really sure that I'm going to believe in Tannehill, but Henry is true.
So what are you waiting for? I mean, this team hasn't lost a game. They have the pedigree from last year. Kevin Blackstone, what did you take away from the end of this game?
Yeah, Derrick Henry. That's what I took away from this game. But as far as Mike Vrabel, yeah, I mean, I think that was a slick kind of a move. We've seen these kind of things before. It's more important now in an offensive football game to have time in your pocket in order to try and score, and that's probably what he tried to do.
Pablo Torre.
Vrabel knew exactly what he was doing. He is not coincidentally the shiniest apple on Bill Belichick's coaching tree right now. But the story, Tony, with the Titans is Ryan Tannehill. Since 2019 began, no one has been a better passer in terms of rating than Ryan Tannehill. He's been more productive than everybody else in the league. So give props to that guy, too.
So if I were to ask you if the MVP of the Titans, or maybe even of the league, would it be Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill? Your answer would be Ryan Tannehill over Derrick Henry. Jackie
right
Mack,
now,
how about you?
Wow, good question. I mean, Tannehill was 8 for 8 with 3 touchdowns in the red zone in this game, but I still think it's Derrick Henry that makes them go. As for Vrabel, he's not only the shiniest apple on the coaching tree. I covered those teams when he was player. He was the shiniest apple in that locker room. You know why? He was every bit as smart and as clever as Belichick, and he was never afraid to challenge him, which made him different than almost
That's
everybody
interesting,
else.
That's interesting, because it didn't really end well in the moment there where when he was let
no,
go.
No, it did not. No. It did not, but it's fine now. Trust me.
Steelers 38, Browns 7. Mike Tomlin called it varsity ball. Baker Mayfield playing through and then not playing through the rib injury. Your takeaway, Kevin Blackstone?
Man, oh, man, what a beatdown. Mike Tomlin just let them know, we're running the show over here. You guys are just pretenders, and that's what they look like. I mean, they knocked Baker Mayfield out of that game. May have come in hobbled anyway, but now he's got to get his body back together and his mental state back together going forward.
Pablo Torre.
Yeah, if it was varsity football, Baker Mayfield was the one getting hazed. He got pressured on 52% of his dropbacks, highest in his career, totally fell apart physically and X's and O's wise after that. So, yeah, the Steelers just look so much better than those Browns.
Jackie?
And I have a sense that maybe Mike Tomlin pregame took some of the comments that were made in the days leading up to this game that the Browns were talking about getting back and we're winning this for Myles Garrett and all that other stuff. Pittsburgh was very smart. They didn't say much of anything. I think they did all their talking on the field.
Clinton Yates.
I understand that Mayfield's been going through a lot physically, but this is his 11th multi-pick game of his career, and he threw a pick six on drive one. And if you want to talk about varsity football, they scored 26 points the Steelers have in every game this year. It's the first time they've ever done that as a franchise. They're playing big time.
I think that was a reference to his own team, right? Tomlin had mentioned how they looked
right.
like a JV
yes.
team last, or in recent weeks. Yeah, okay. So he wasn't calling at the Browns per se. But that was an apex predator win for Pittsburgh. We'll move on. Broncos 18, Patriots 12. This was neither apex nor predator. Belichick said all the COVID disruptions affected his team. Said the word practice 6 times in his post-game availability. There was the exchange here with a backup center. There was the terrible end-of-game pass here from Newton. They were throwing passes to Newton in this game, Jackie, to make things work. Buy or sell Belichick.
I'm gonna sell it only because that shiny apple we were just talking about, they had all sorts of disruptions and they ended up trouncing the Bills the week they had all their COVID disruptions. It's not like him to make excuses. I'm surprised that's what he went with.
I'm going to buy everything about this. Mr. No Days Off after winning a Super Bowl is concerned about practice time. Mr. I sleep in the facility and walk around in the buff in front of my players. Doesn't think they had enough time to prepare. He's the one person in the NFL who I'm actually buying that from, and it makes sense.
Kevin Blackstone.
I'm going to buy it just because Cam looked so bad, and this just wasn't a shutdown of the team. Remember, this was Cam not even being around the team because he was quarantined, right? I mean, he had to miss that time, and he's the one who looked out of sorts. And I tell you what, if he's out of sorts, the Patriots go nowhere.
Pablo Torre.
Belichick is obviously the league's preeminent practice fetishist, but they were playing the Denver Broncos and Drew Locke. If practice was the gap between those two teams, the Patriots are nowhere near as good as I was expecting them to be, by Belichick's own estimation then.
Who else would say practice fetishist in an answer?
That was beautiful.
You thought it was beautiful?
Beautiful.
Yeah, here's what I thought of it.
It's true.
Did.
It's enough to get through, though, Pablo Torre, Clinton Yates, Jackie McMullen. You guys were going at it earlier. Right, you guys have all the time in the world to go after each other. Kevin Black is on Pablo Torre Showdown. 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Kevin Blackstone, Pablo Torre, good luck in Showdown. Trevor Lawrence, 404 yards and 5 touchdowns. And he was lifted 1 series into the third quarter. And Clemson's punter wound up playing quarterback in that 73-7 win over Georgia Tech. Meanwhile, Alabama 24 straight consecutive in a row unanswered to beat Georgia. The way this weekend went down convinced you it'll be Clemson, Alabama for the title again, Kev?
Absolutely. What else does it look like? LSU's not in the picture, so it's going to come down to these two. And boy, Nick Saban, 22-0 now against his former assistants. Yikes. He knows how to set them up for himself.
The only way this does not happen, this rematch, is if Trevor Lawrence tanks his own season to avoid being drafted by the Jets at number one overall. That's the only way we don't get Clemson and Alabama again for the umpteenth time.
That's a real good answer, Pablo Torre. And speaking of said Jets, let's talk about Marcus May's butt kick again. This is legitimately incredible. I mean, how much butt can there be? There's never going to be enough butt. Let's show that down now versus the Jets fan, because the Jets fan had the bag over the head and the mask over the bag over the head. That's glorious. So this team, the last remaining Ofer, as calls for Adam Gase's job are deafening. Who showed the greater presence of mind, Pablo?
It is the double-bagging Jet fan, Tony, because it's so sad right now. It's humiliating. It's undignified to be a Jet fan. But at the very least, you can be safe, which feels like a metaphor for how all of us should feel in this country right now. It's still possible.
Well, I know they should
survive.
Oh, they should certainly feel that way. I mean, Adam Gase has more double-digit losses than he does wins. How does he still have a gig? This is amazing. But that catch just proves to me once again how unbelievably athletic NFL players
more
are.
More double-digit losses than wins in his career, Adam Gase. That is an incredible stat, Kevin Blackstone. But Pablo Torre still getting the points in the FaceTime. 30 seconds. But, I say, yes.
I wanted to inspire Jet fans, but actually, now I'm gonna do the opposite. Because guess what? The previous coach you guys had before Adam Gase was a gentleman named Todd Bowles. And Todd Bowles didn't get anybody that excited, but they should be excited about Todd Bowles now in Tampa Bay, because that defense we just talked about, that's his defense. He inherited it. They were dead last by DVOA in defense, went to sixth, then second before this game, and suddenly Todd Bowles might be the solution the Jets had the entire time. Whoops.
Pablo Torre, today's winner. That's another story he wants to tell you.